Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Marcus Mapin, and you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Mapin, so sit back and relax and watch Mapin.
Break it down like this!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio, time for Middays with Marcus Mapin on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Mapin and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Mapin. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And I know I use that number every morning to give out to you people, but I feel it's necessary in times like this. We're going to do our royalty, our royalty duties today. Steve Rummage in the building, Marcus Mapin at home, Nikki V in the booth.
We're in the building at a nice, cozy 70 degrees in the Players Club right now. I did that. Yeah, I did that because I know I always say it's always 69 in the Players Club, but I don't feel like we deserve perfection today, so especially with how the weekend went. But we're one step closer to, I think, figuring some answers out. So let's just keep it rolling.
Nikki V in the booth. Nikki, what's going on, my man?
Oh, you know, wait, where's the sounder?
They want the booth.
There it is. Okay. It was a bit of an up and down weekend.
How happy are you? Stop acting like that.
No.
Look, Marcus, as soon as I come in today.
Wow, okay. No, not even a warm-up toss. Nick, we're just jumping right into it.
Nick's
okay,
like,
okay.
Nick's
no,
like,
that's fine.
Oh, man, it's a dark day. I'm like, dude, you're tickled pink. Like, you're thrilled that he's falling on his face. I can just see it in his face right now. Look, he's like trying to, well, guys, man, I'm really sad about the fact that Chris Mack's team's
there's fall. Nothing yeah. Like a fake sad friend.
I know. It's like, Nick, dude, just say it. Look.
All right, you want me to be honest? I'll be honest.
Content for days, Nick.
I'll be honest.
And he's looking wrong.
There's a 30% part of me, the dark side of me, that is like, this is what you get.
Hey, listen,
you traded away a reliable Toyota and Dino Gaudio, and you tried to get this new fancy car that turned out to be a knockoff Vespa and can't get you up a hill. But
maybe Kia, not Toyota. Easy on that.
You and I can debate about that.
I mean, Dino was good, but I mean, I don't know if he's a Toyota.
he had miles on him, but he's reliable. He's reliable. But here's the thing. This is the God's honest truth. I firmly believe, and you know, putting aside the 30%, you know, Sith side of me, like that wants vengeance and revenge. The majority of me, the Cardinal fan in me, is looking at it and is saying like. What the hell's going on? I also come from the temple, the Jedi temple of let the cake bake a little bit. And I want this offense to work. I want things to iron out. That said, they look completely lost. But here's the thing. Talking about wanting to get rid of him, who are you going to get? Like that immediately, like, you know, let me grant you your argument. He's not the guy. Besides Kenny Payne, who you're not positive is going to leave a good Knicks team to come back to college. Talking about getting right into it. We're not stretching at all.
It's just the Louisville basketball job, dude.
Nope,
you're going to
What? We're not doing that anymore.
You don't think you can't go
it's
out
still,
and get a great
you know,
coach?
I'll get to the phones in a second. No, I think you can. But, I mean, he was the guy. He was the prodigal son coming home. He was your Jeff Brom coming home. Missed a million.
Did you just compare Chris Mack to Jeff Brom?
I'm saying that he was the equivalent of him.
No,
he was the morning line favorite.
You have lost
favorite.
Your mind today.
He was the morning line favorite.
You have 1,000% lost your mind. Like, they're not even comparable.
I'm talking about, hindsight, Captain Hindsight. I'm talking about going into the thing. Look, at the beginning of it, I liked Chris Mack. I wanted Shaka Smart.
People were ready to riot the campus for Jeff Brom. Like, Jeff Brom really, like, that's Louisville royalty. Chris Mack, like, we were like, well, his wife's from Louisville.
Come on, man. Are you telling me that he wasn't? Look, I mean, I think, like, Brom is like has 80% of the fan base, and Mack might have had 65 or whatever when the debate was going on, but he was still far and away the morning line favorite.
Okay, he can be the morning line favorite.
That's what I'm saying. He was your number one choice in the thing, and it did not work out. And now you have this idea, like, the names that are being thrown around. Do you think you really want to, like, leave those spots? Louisville is still a top 10 program. Don't get me wrong at all.
Would Bruce Pearl leave Auburn for Louisville?
You have NCAA violations hanging over your head. You have an interim, like president
so
right
did
now.
So Bruce Pearl
AD. Okay, and I hear Bruce Pearl's name thrown around. I would love Bruce Pearl. Yeah. If you thought it was fun having Dino on and him spilling the tea, Bruce Pearl's boys with pops and has an even bigger personality. I would love for that. He's got the number 4 ranked team in the SEC or whatever.
And would leave in a heartbeat.
I don't know,
for the
dude.
Louisville basketball job.
Right now?
Yeah.
Right now. This this second. I don't think he would.
Yes.
I don't think he would. I would love for it. I would give certain appendages of my body that aren't that impressive to begin with for that to happen. But I don't think it would happen.
Yeah, it's to me, it's still Louisville basketball.
Talking about my pinky, by the way.
No, I know, totally understand. Yeah, no, it's still Louisville basketball. But yeah, it's Louisville basketball. This job is incredible.
It's like I said.
This is an incredible job.
I think it's
job,
a Ferrari,
man.
But like it needs a little bit of maintenance for the guy to just jump.
That's fine. If somebody will sell you a Ferrari for $20,000, you'll buy it and you'll put an engine in it. Like that's fine. I'll save up to put the that's what you're talking about here. Bruce Pearl would walk to Louisville if he got offered that job. He would literally
say, gentlemen. You can get a Benz.
That is true. That is true. That's a good. I like that. Way to go, Marcus. Way to funnel that in there.
Or on a Friday evening, news dump time.
Yeah.
You can just go get a Benz.
I feel like there's some movement. I feel like there's some movement around the city that's trying to take it back, man. Trying to take it back. So I know we kind of just jumped.
I hated that discussion.
Well, I know you do. Yeah, I know you do.
All right, I'm just going to walk in and be awkward. Is Benz code for something? Or like, did you actually buy a Benz?
No, it was.
Well, there's a lot of things right now.
The fact you don't know is perfect.
Oh, it's perfect, Steve.
Yeah, it's
perfect. I know. That's why I was instead of just laughing, like, haha, Benz, right? You know, they have that funny symbol and they're well-made European cars. What are we talking about? Like, I'm just coming right into it, and I don't get the joke. Explain the joke to me.
Do you want him to just sit on that Benz joke for a little while, Steve? And
Yeah, just let him sit on that. Yeah, we'll let him sit on that for a little while.
Listen. Somebody's going to text him to his phone.
Because I will say this. The reason, and we're going to get to the sports part of it, but I mean, you know, I was listening to Drew this morning, and you know, and you hear the talk and different stuff. And I mean, I've heard what Jeff Greer said. And I don't like to do the coaching search conversation while we still have a coach, you know.
And here's the thing. The reason I hated that conversation is because there's still time to identify a trend in this coaching. You know what I'm saying? In this team.
Yeah.
We have, you know, it's like when we talked about Satterfield, like we would talk about the trends we see and the trends that are saying, okay, this is leading to a coaching search conversation. But this is like, you still can't. Okay. We talk about, inconsistency. This is still inconsistent enough to say they can start balling. They have some tools to start balling. They have some tools to
to play some basketball, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I won't jump off the cliff to that conversation of coaching changes.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too. I mean, and it's like there are some other things in there. I mean, let's see, you know, if Louisville can do it. Would they do it, you know? But my point was that conversation was brought up, and that conversation is kind of becoming harder. Now, I'm doing a macro here. I mean, we'll get into the Pittsburgh game itself. But that conversation is becoming harder and harder to run from every game that goes by. And what I mean is guys like me and you that like to fight off the coaching search conversation. You know, now, look, once a coach is fired, I'm all for it. You know, look, coaching searches are, whether you like it or not, they're exciting. You know, like it is.
I want to stick to my I don't fire coaches like that. Like, I have to be there to literally fire a coach. Like, even when I'm saying I won't fire Satterfield unless it's Brom, you know, or
yeah.
I don't fire coaches to start a search. I don't do that unless I know a coach is coming in here. 'Cause again, these coaches have not been bad enough for me to say I'll take anybody over these coaches, or I'll take nothing's worse than a coaching search.
Right, right. Well, for
radio is great.
Yeah.
But for the Cardinal fan and me, the alum, the player, you know, I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, I mean, do you agree with that, though, that even for guys like us, I mean, the way this season is going, it's like it is hard. It's hard for me to keep that down, you know, where it's like, okay, the way it goes down Saturday, it's like, okay, I listen.
What's the worst part? Because here's the thing. I think there's a natural flow in what was the part about Saturday, or if you want to lump in the last three games together, what has been the most difficult thing about, you know, about these games to you?
The incompetence that it feels like I'm watching. That was what drove us nuts during football season. It wasn't even just losing. I mean, we'll get to the Cowboys, but I made the tweet yesterday. I made the tweet yesterday about, you know, I said, hey man, I can deal with my teams losing, but when they just looked inept doing it, I mean, and that's what I feel like I've watched, and I think you're. You know, Drew said this 100 times, and I tend to agree with him. I know others may not, but I think some of the football energy has kind of flowed into basketball season. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is it felt inept at times during football season. Like, it felt like, hey, man, like – stop rushing three, man. Like, stop running on second long, man. Like, you know, it was just simple. And then now in football, we can be frustrated. But let's be clear. The Louisville football fan base and the Louisville basketball fan base are the same people, but two totally different fan bases.
Yeah, different. Yeah, a different mentality. Yeah.
Basketball has felt the same way, where it's like, gosh, just give more effort, man. You know, just.
And I'm relying on you to talk about that fan experience a little more than I can, because it's like when you talk about you know, things that you didn't like in football and the rushing three and things like that, and when I talk about things like, hey, the psychology of the individual players and the relationship between the coaches and the players, you know, because like I, you know how I get lost more down in that road of, hey coach, you got to stop letting Malik Cunningham run these footballs in on the 2-yard line.
Yeah,
you got to stop letting him do that. Like, to me, my quote unquote incompetence chant comes from, coach, like you're gonna break down the team, you know, by doing what you're doing. And I think, I wanted to kind of answer the question I asked you.
Yeah.
That part of the Malik substitutions, the letting Jalen Withers get away with the layups, you know, that thing, that lack of development thing is the coach-player psychology thing that I'm like, coach, this is a big red flag. This is a big warning You know, like I said, Malik's fifth touchdown that he runs in from the 2-yard line. I'm like, coach, this is a big red flag warning. So that's the part of me that I think I've let maybe bleed into the basketball.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Well, and I just mean the feeling overall, the mood overall is it's like you felt like, okay, the way this football season's going, okay, well, at least basketball, like, God, you know, we know they're going to play hard. We know they're going to be, you know.
We needed basketball. The fact that we needed them to be successful so bad. Leaving the football season also put some pressure on everybody.
And like I said, I mean, look outside right now. Like, I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, I forgot. Because she said January, we were going out to eat, and she said January is the worst month of the year. And I was like, you know, you've got. And then I got to thinking, I'm like, well, you know what, babe? I agree. But I've never had a January that I just didn't care. Because I always have Louisville basketball in January. I mean, I look outside right now, like anybody that knows me knows, like, this disgusts me. This is hell. Like, I mean, snow, just cold.
It looks like a sugar cookie.
No, it doesn't.
I'm not sweaty. It's a wonderful time.
No, this looks horrible. I mean, this is disgusting out here right now. And I'm not talking about the tan connection. Like, why is that still there, by the way?
Why is that still there?
Because some people like to get nice and bronze while they're waiting on their undies to dry. That's why.
No, we were. Okay, first off, that's an issue altogether. We'll talk about putting the two together. But I mean, we were told. When I was told that was going to be a target. That was supposed to be a target.
That put pressure on everything.
And a hotel. Like, yes.
You know what, man? Those laundromats, man, that's an underrated, market.
This texter says, I don't really know how to explain this, but this texter says, Rummage doesn't like to do a coaching search thing while we have a coach. Isn't he the one that wanted Sat fired for Brom? That's not a coaching search. Okay, I don't know how to explain this to you.
Didn't I say that, Steve?
But on this air, me and Marcus both said, we don't want a coaching search, but if you can him for Brom, then you do that. So I'm
Nikki, you would agree with that. We've been consistent with that. Like, it's not – like, the Brom puts pressure on Satterfield, not we just want to fire Sat and just – go out and just look for people.
I get what you're saying. You're saying instead of it being like a coaching search, like we just rattled off four names with Pearl and Kenny Payne and, you know, Eric Musselman was mentioned before, like at the beginning of the year and everything like that. Mm. You're saying that this is just a straight up swap. This is a trade.
Yeah. If Brom hadn't like been Pokemon in cards. That conversation, I honestly would have probably been like, look, I don't like it, but look, you got one more year, you're on the hot seat. Let's figure it out. Okay, and you're fired, like, because, but Brom made it that's not a coaching search.
Let me get to the phone lines real quick, get some new ideas in here. Ulysses, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. My humble opinion regarding our men's basketball team, I think we talked ad nauseum about it. I know we'll continue to talk about it. What I see is some players won't be on the roster next year. I don't know if our coach is going to be back. I don't know because there's too many things, too many variables there. You know, if we get a level two violation, if Mac gets hit with that, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. I'm certain you guys will talk to it or continue to talk about it. But where I'm at today, I'm gonna say I gotta give props to Coach Waltz and our women's basketball team. Oh my God, them women, those women ball, man. That's all I can say. Those women ball. They play like they got a pair. It's a beautiful thing. Coach Waltz puts five women in, five new reserves in. They were 10 points down and they come back and take the lead with 10 reserves. Against really, really tough defense. It was incredible. I'm blown away with our women. The women's got a tough game. I think they got North Carolina State. I'm getting my popcorn because I'm going to be ready. Lastly, Laura Lawrence, if you're out there, our 49ers struck gold again, bro. Thank you.
Ulysses, I appreciate that call. Insert. don't know. Extra comments you want.
I don't know if you can say that, but
Dr. Ted, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, Marcus. Yeah, if you're the coach of this team, how would you fix it?
Ooh, I appreciate the call. How would I fix it? This is exactly what I would do, Dr. Ted. I would go find Marty McFly. I would jump in his DeLorean, and I would go back in time, and I would say, Coach, use your bench. Use your team. Get your entire team excited about playing game time basketball. You have talent. You have depth. And make Jalen dunk the ball from the beginning. And we wouldn't be here right now.
I thought you're going to tell them, let's have fun. Let's not put too much pressure on. I think he's got depth. He's got the athletes in there. They're just not having fun. And even when they win, it's not fun. I don't know what it is. But
no, I think I was saying that when I say you use the team, the whole team, that's what makes it fun. When everybody knows they're going to get a shot in the game to play a little bit, that's how you get everybody engaged and playing hard and having a good time. But when you just use six guys or seven guys, you know, it kind of makes it a little dull.
No. It's fun listening to you guys, especially on Mondays like this. But I'll keep on cheering for the guys and hope that they do something better.
Yeah, for sure. Dr. Ted, thanks for calling. We always appreciate when you call in and hearing from you. I guess we're rolling along. Tino, thanks for joining us. Fire away, my man.
Hey, Tino?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marcus, man, I just want to think. I think Matt lost the squad, man. I think they don't believe in him no more. And I don't even know if they like each other, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know for sure. I'm not saying that. And the reason why I say that is, you remember one play sticks out of my mind where it's like an out-of-bounds play, and Mason Butler is over it and on Pittsburgh's sideline. And they surround him. Like, they surround him. And
I know the play.
Mason just stands there like, whatever, it's whatever. You know what I mean? Which I'm proud of that. And nobody came over to get him. Nobody ran over there and like come to his defense, man. I mean, that's a problem right there, man. And to me, I don't know how you turn it around. Can you turn that around? I mean, you really don't, I don't really don't know if you can turn that around or not. Like, I think they got the ability to turn it around. I think as far as skill and basketball, like, I think they got that. But I don't know if they got – it's just in their heads, man. And the only way you can turn – it's got to be up to them. They got to say, forget Coach Mack, forget all the other noise, and they got to look in the mirror and say, it's me, it's my heart, and it's up to me. And because it's already this thing like they out there like, well, I'm trying to go to the next level, or I'm trying to go somewhere else. I'm trying to play for next year. You know what I'm saying? Instead of playing for this year and trying to win, man, and that's just and I never seen that from a Louisville program in my life, man. Even when the times was way down, I never seen it get divided like that. And I don't know if it's because they all transferred. I don't know if it's that or what it is, but that's a real problem. It's a crack in the team, man. And some way we gotta kill it, man. And as far as another coach, man. I mean, do we got any confidence in our hands to even fire him? Or if he needs to be fired, I'm not saying I'm not calling for his head or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, would our leaders do that? I mean, if we got Brown sitting right here, and I don't mean to go back there, we got Brown sitting right here, and we don't get rid of the football coach, are we really gonna get rid of the basketball coach? Or are they gonna say, he's got a plan. I mean, I don't know. I appreciate y'all for letting me go, man. Freshman.
Appreciate it, man.
We almost have to make a Miranda rights of Monday mornings. Like, Monday mornings cannot be used against you in the court of law. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Because Monday, Steve denounces the Cowboys. Marcus says, you know, hey, if Jalen Withers not going to dunk the ball, I kick Jalen off the team, you know, on Mondays. You know, like, we all do something on Mondays that that falls a lot more on the emotional side.
Monday's side. Like the sports walk of shame. It's just me walking across campus.
Right.
Shirt unbuttoned, one shoe on.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what happened.
It's a wild night.
I'm going to stop at this tan connection and
try to tan away the shame.
Wash my clothes and jump in the tan bed.
Listen, I'm telling you, the laundromat, Steve,
yeah,
is the best place to meet women.
Okay.
They're so humble in there.
The laundromat?
They're so humble in there. They're so nice. Everybody's so nice and humble. Not that you would ever need to do that, but this is a little tip to throw out there.
Dexter wants Maben to know his 12-19 team was much better than this team.
We beat the number one team in the state. Or in the nation.
The number two team in the state. Number one team in the nation.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah. Listen. And we had a Hall of Famer coach, too. This coach is still learning.
Yeah. No, I... Yes, I was... believe that.
A little bit, but... Right. Who do we got up next? Plumber Chuck, fire away, my man.
What's going on, guys? I don't know who I'd feel sorry worse for. Dallas Cowboy fans or Louisville fans. Both of us this morning are not having a good day. So, first thing is, during his presser after the game, the fans were ripping him left and right on the internet. I think he has lost the team. I don't know if you can salvage what's left of this season. Like, I was listening to Diener and Greer. You might be able to split it, but it's still not going to get you in the tournament. So, I'm seriously looking forward to Dan McDonald in the baseball season now, because I had my hopes up for the football season. That didn't go well. I was looking forward to basketball. We're doing halfway decent.
Well, then don't look forward to baseball, for the love of God. That's the last thing we need to do. That's the last thing we need to do then.
Well, I think the baseball team's going to be all right. But,
they will be.
His assistant coach is in here, the ones that we're going to turn this thing around. I don't think they're doing that big of a bang-up job right now. So, Steve, good luck on the off season with football. And, Marcus, keep up the good work, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the call. Leo, fire away. Leo, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, guys.
Yep. Yeah, fire away.
Oh, sorry. It didn't come through.
No, you're fine.
Where to start?
Yeah.
I looked something up today, and I'm not one of those people. Well, I do want Mac gone, but I'm not saying, well, I wouldn't mind if Mac was gone today and they made Piggy's interim, but I just want to throw something out there, and I know it's a small sample size, right? Mm-hmm. But we went 5-1 with Coach Piggy's when Mac was nowhere near the program. And I think that says more to Mac, you know, than Piggy's, although I think Piggy's will make a fine coach someday. But if you look at something during that time, they were 5-1. They won that holiday tournament. Mississippi State right now is ranked 24th in the BPI. They're top 50 in the net, and they're ranked 4th in the SEC, which might be the best basketball conference right now. And we got that moniker, the Bahama Bullies. Now, the offense wasn't looking great, but they looked different. Their hustle was different. They were diving, running, you know, cheering. Mac comes back, and they go, they win 5 of 11 with just god-awful losses. And, you know, I really don't think this team, even if there's chemistry problems, even if there's players that don't have great attitudes or whatever it is, that's his job to figure it out. You know, if you had these coaches, if you had players like this under, you know, Patino, let's just say, or you know, any, you know, Hall of Famer, really good coach, you know, they hit the curb or sit on the bench or whatever. So there's just a difference there. And again, six games, small sample size, but you can't deny that. Something just changed when he came back, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And I don't think they want to play for him. I don't think he wants to coach them. And I want to get your thoughts on that. And, you know, stay warm in this mess. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I am going to address I'm going to address that. I want to take this last call first, and I'm going to address Leo. Kathy from Kansas, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maben. Fire away.
You're welcome. I like your shows. I want to know what you and if you and Steve were coaching this team, what would you do different? B, who I threw out a couple of names of coaches that I thought last week would do a good job with Mark Ennis and Mark Blankenbaker, and they just laughed me off the planet. But anyway, who do you think would be interested in this job? And does this interim athletic director, does he have the, can he do something about this at the end of the season? I just can't, this is just horrible. And I've been a Louisville fan since Butch Beard and Fred Holden and Jerry King and Denny Deacon and Mike Grosso and all those. So, you know, I've gone back in the far ages. But, you know, this is not Louisville football. I mean basketball. And I have never thought since he came that Chris Mack was the right fit. But I'm going to hang up and listen to your answers. But I am a happy fan because my Chiefs won last night. Mm. And my poor Shockers, they've lost four in a row. So they and Louisville are going through the same thing. So I want to get your responses on my questions. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Actually, I wrote down what Leo was asking, what Tino was asking, and what Kathy was asking. I guess we'll take a quick commercial break. I'll kind of fire away because there's plenty of stuff to unwrap today.
Yeah.
So quick commercial break, Middays with Marcus Maben on 839 The Ville.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben with Steve Rummage and Nick Valvano. Don't know if Marcus is there anymore, but we'll figure that out.
Wait, I think I hear Marcus. Sorry about that, man. You there?
Yes, I've been here.
And Nick, Marcus is back.
And listen, what didn't you do right, Nicky? Tell me.
I don't know. I said go like four times.
I was just watching Nick say go.
I heard him say go, and the first time I said no, I said
Then I went go again. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I felt like I was in the V show again, man. I thought maybe that you went to go get a sandwich or something.
I don't think we hear him anymore. I think he's gone again.
Maben, are you there, man? What happened? what's going on?
What have you done?
I don't know what I did.
And he's back.
There we go. Marcus is back. All right, Marcus is back. I didn't hit anything.
Sit here and do a show regardless of if y'all can hear me or not. So if you stop hearing me, just know that I'm sitting in my home doing a show talking to the world.
Okay, we can hear you now.
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of music selection, it's Mill and Tony Mondays.
Yes, sir.
Steve.
Yes. We're just going to, hey, let's play a game. Let's start finishing Marcus's sentences.
When it drops off.
When it drops off. He's like, anyways, you don't.
No, Jack. No, wait.
Yeah, Rhino. Really quick, though.
No, did you hear, though? That was the new Mill and Tony spot. Finally updated it because, you know.
You did.
The holiday spot is.
Is that the one that you cut before the show today?
I did. Yeah. Right?
You did a good job. It sounded good.
That music sucked.
He's back.
Wait, the music on the commercial or Lupe Fiasco?
That music on the commercial sucked.
What's wrong with the music? Oh, because it's 8-bit? Ooh, there it is. No, it was 8-bit, you know.
I will not allow Mill and Tony's to be represented by an 8-bit song like that.
Well, that's fine. I just got to redo the whole commercial because, you know, you don't like it. But no, that's fine. No, that's fine. You know, cool. by all means, Marcus, it's all about your musical selection. It's not about the great $5.99 lunch special they have 12 to 2 every day with favorites like lasagna, manicotti, spaghetti, and meatballs, or the fact they open up at 5 for dinner and you can get chicken Florentine, my favorite, or you can get sausage and peppers, Pop's favorite, pasta Mill and Tony, a family favorite, the guy calzones the size of my head, and Mill and Tony's that you would commit... I mean, cannolis that you would commit small felonies for. No, none of that matters. It matters that you don't like the 8-bit music on it. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'll remix it.
It's almost like this show hasn't been a successful show for the past 5 years due to the suggestions we have been making about the music choices. But no, Nikki comes to the team and decides his 1982 music selections are going to just take over Middays with Marcus Maben and change the whole scheme of the way we do things around here. Sorry, Bill and Tony Mondays, that Nikki decided 1980s music is going to be the new Bitcoin.
You can't tell me. Well, 8-bit Bitcoin. I see what you did there. You can't tell me the 80s weren't awesome. There'll be
no crypto slander on this show, please. I have way too much money wrapped up in that. Thank you.
Fair enough. Okay, listen.
All four months I was in the 80s. It was lit, man.
while y'all can hear me, I didn't like the 8-bit music, by the way. Thank you. While y'all can still hear me, I do want to answer those questions or attempt to answer those questions.
Okay.
don't tell me we dropped off again.
No, you're there.
I said I liked it. Don't tell him.
No, we got like a Blue Chew rock solid connection right now, man. You sound good.
Okay, here's the thing.
Promo code VSHOW, first month free, $5.
I was going to say sneak those promo codes in whenever you can. So here's the thing. Leo. It was a big picture conversation he was talking about. You got to be careful with cliche phrases like lost the team. You know, after every game, like how many years did we say Rick Pitino lost the team? You know what I'm saying? Right? Like that's an overused cliche when you say lost the team, especially in a sport like basketball, because basketball is 10 individual personalities. 10 individual personalities, and there's usually two parents and a family attached to each individual personality.
Yeah.
So talking about disgruntled attitudes in basketball, what makes basketball so great is there's an accountability level between there's like an agreement, an accountability agreement between the spectator, the fan, and the player. You can hear people, what they say to you in basketball. You can literally hear, you know, there's like a close relationship. So even if the coach, you're mad at the coach, the fan can see if you're going hard or not, or if you're playing effective or not. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like in football, there's so much scheme involved for to see a guy success. In basketball, it's not like that. You can have a guy who hates the coach. The coach hates the player. And guess what? His jersey is about to get retired. His name is Russ Smith. You remember how Russ Smith got on the court and we were like, why does Rick always mention him?
Let me just say this really quick. Can I throw this in there? If we care at all about Russ Smith, we would push that off.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's a whole nother conversation.
I know.
Let's push the Russ conversation about pushing Russ back.
Yeah, right.
But does this make sense what I'm saying, Steve? For the starters, of the accountability of the fan can see you up close. It's not like you need some big offensive scheme to see if we got a wide receiver. I can see a player with a basketball in his hand. Can you score the basketball against your guy or not? You know, okay, yes or no. Sometimes the coach can draw up something to help you get a clean look. But basketball, like, we can identify if you're good or not, you know, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, when that bench comes into play, there now you're adding the coach into the conversation. But you're still seeing enough of the players to say, okay, I don't have to rely on the coach and the scheme to know. That's why last year I said stop doing out of position conversation. You can be 6'3" or 6'10", and you should be able to do some things. I'm not sure if it was Leo or Tina or Lee. It was Leo talking about Coach Pegues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't want to turn team anything. But if you're mad at Coach Mack, so you say Coach Pegues. Now, then I have to counter with, okay, well, Coach Pegues, if I'm Coach Mack, I could be mad at Coach Pegues that Malik doesn't have any kind of post move, any kind of game around the basket. According to what we have been told, Pegues works with the big man, yes? Do you?
Over the last couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, he's been the big man coach. And I can say the inside development of Malik Williams has been non-existent, you know? Or you could say it's a personality thing where he scared thing. And then I say, okay, well, Jalen Withers, around the basket, if there's any players, it's like, It's non-existent. But again, I kind of saw Jalen Withers was taking up the habits of Malik Williams, and you could see it. So, okay, so I want to separate me, you know, critiquing versus solutions. You can't undo the training of Jalen Withers and Malik. You cannot undo what you've let them get away with, right?
Uh-huh.
And these are chickens coming home to roost. And everybody, if I never did radio ever again, and today was my last day, I want everybody to admit, Marcus Maben called that Lamar Jackson Heisman thing before everybody, and he pointed out that Jalen and Malik not dunking is going to be a problem. Just make sure you acknowledge that I told you those things way ahead of time. That's a problem. But the only way you fix that problem is I have the game playing as we're doing the show. Jalen, okay. Coach Mack called the play, Steve. And I'm gonna give credit. Out of a timeout, you need a bucket. Coach Mack called the play. You know the play we recognize where it goes to Jalen over in the corner and Jalen finds Malik kind of sneaking behind, you know, throws the little behind the shoulder throw. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
The play. Okay. Coach called that play for Rose earlier. Rose screwed it up. He was in the wrong place. Everybody was in the right place. Rose screwed it up. Okay. Rose gets snatched, right? So this is what happens the next play. They run it, maybe a couple plays later. They run it for Malik. Malik gets the ball, and he should be dunking it, or he should even be putting it off the glass like normal. He really should be dunking it. He's 6'11". He should be dunking it. Okay. Malik softly lobs it up. it rolls around the rim. He almost missed the point blank range layup behind the back. It rolls around, it goes in. He's kind of fumbling around, you know, whatever. But they get the bucket. We go back down the floor. We get a look, Jalen Withers loses his man. They get a wide open look. They missed the shot, Steven. This is what I'm talking about. They missed the shot. We get the rebound. We throw it all the way down to Jalen Withers because he kind of keeps going after the shot. We throw it down, and then this is the play where Jalen Withers gets the dunk blocked. And he was going up
the one where somebody blocked him, or the one he blocked himself?
The one that somebody blocked him.
Okay, I hate that that's a question I have to ask.
Yes,
in regards to Louisville basketball.
Both happened, they both happened in the same, you know, couple of minutes. But yes, the one that he's there to dunk the ball, and that dude blocks that basketball, right?
Yep.
And this is an equal pie of accountability. Of course, the coach is a coach. But again, I don't want to be humble, or I don't want to sound braggy or nothing like this. Coach, I'm so pissed off at you because that dunk, that Jalen getting his dunk blocked, that's your fault, Coach. That's years of you letting this stuff go. You know, we had a conversation. We make the joke early in the year. Why don't you dunk the ball? Put him on the bench. Put him on the bench. If he doesn't put the ball straight in the square and, you know, in the glass, and he doesn't go up strong with two hands, smack the glass, whatever, put the ball in the hole, or dunk the basketball, you got to take him out of the game because that's not taking the ball up strong. So he's built up. He's gotten away with these habits, you know, the dribbling, the extra dribbling. Malik tries to dribble through two people. These are instant. You got to go to the bench offenses, Steve, on anybody's team. Nikki, I hope you have my whole sound clip ready because I know they're listening right now. Get my Bobby Knight, please. I want the whole thing because this has to be repeated, Steve, because this is the truth. So when Jalen Withers gets that dunk blocked, I look at the bench. I should see Coach Mack charging down the bench, snatching somebody by the collar, and damn near kicking them in the ass to substitute Jalen out of that game after he gets that as much time as he had to lay that ball up. Right?
Yeah.
He should literally.
You can talk about all the motivational speeches and phrases and devices in the world, but the greatest motivator of all is your ass on the bench. There is no better motivator. Ass meets bench. Bench retains ass.
Period, Nikki. Period. Cut it right there, Nikki. Nikki, cut it right there and have that every time I talk about this situation. You have that clip on call.
Ass meets bench. Bench retains ass.
Yes, yes. You run down there. You listen. The coach, okay, your press conference, you talked about urgency. You're talking about you don't know how to instill urgency. That's what you do. You run down there and you snatch Jalen or JJ Trainer by his collar and you fling him to that scores table. And on the way, when Jalen Withers is coming to the, you know, to the table, you say, "What the is wrong with you? Get on that bench and don't even think about coming back on this court." Till you find that man inside of you.
I just want to coach. Yeah. Because, like, I want people to have to cover their kids' ears three rows behind the bench. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you get my point with that. But, yeah.
Casual. Yeah, because that is casual. Sorry, Nikki. I didn't even – I got worked up. I didn't even see the time. You go ahead and play us out.
It's 11:01.
We got to talk about more of this.
Yeah. No, it's a good breakdown. I found myself listening. Yeah, it's
– Yeah, and listen, there's a couple more of
these. I never listen to you when you're talking.
Not to suck up, but I do listen sometimes. I remade the No One Tony commercial.
Oh, dear God.
And I went from 8-bit classic music to
4-bit
classical music. I went with Vivaldi, son. Antonio Vivaldi. There you go.
Who's that?
Classic Italian composer. Read a book once in a while. Jeez. Steve, I just Googled
him,
too.
He's like, also, you're fat. Okay, Nick. Gosh.
Sorry. I won't talk about 8-bit music.
I know, man, dude. I just took a stray bullet, man. Thanks.
Well, I guess we're not going to play out, so I'll just say quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.
He was listening.
9, The Veil.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.